Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on. Good morning, everybody. You may be seated if you're not already. We love you. You know, it's funny when pastors make that announcement. We might be a little longer than usual just because we're praying. We're going to pray. We're going to take our time to pray and prophesy and just be led by the Lord. Not that you don't normally have that happen, but, you know, when I come, we're bound to extend prophecy, you know, and whatnot. Just really quick, man, how many of you just loved that just beautiful expression of worship through like dance, drama, expressions of love for Jesus? Can we just give a round of applause to Judith and her team for doing that? You even had Pastor Tom up there, you know, and his offbeat rhythm, you know what I mean? Like, you had him up there, though. He was doing awesome, though. Man, it's just so cool to see everyone come together. Last night, I made a joke. I was like, man, like, I blew my opportunity to be a part of the production. Because whenever Jesus, like, came running through the crowd, a.k.a. Will, you know, he kind of looked at me and then went off. And I so blew him off because I think I was, like, typing my notes or looking at something. I'm like, man, there was my one moment to be a part of the production, and I missed it. So I joked about that last night. Well, I got to be a part of the production today. I don't know if anyone saw it, but I got welled by a table. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's like, hey, just clear the aisles. I wasn't in the aisle and got welled. But I'm like, I'm just sitting there, like, boom. I'm like, good. Lord. Yeah, that's I met him at the table quick, you know what I'm saying? And if you were the ones that hit the table, don't be ashamed. It was funny. But I was like, all right, Charlie horse in the leg now. That's great. It's not like I'm trained for a half marathon or anything, you know? I'll be like, you know, it was great. But anyways, guys, we're going to jump into what I felt like the Lord had me to share in just a minute. But we're going to, there's a few things prophetically that I have to make sure that I take care of. And I on the spot put Pastor Brian and Pastor Hannah on the spot. But the Lord shared something with me during worship. And I feel like this is just for right now. And it's not even so much for the church as it is for those who are here today in the church. And I'm hoping Brian is back there and ready to do his thing, hopefully, possibly. I thought enough, made a little joke, and we're going to move on. So Brian is in the back, I think, at the piano, and this is honestly just an illustrated prophetic word because it was something the Lord showed me in worship. And then it was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then I was like, wait, the production, and they just moved things behind the curtain. Hopefully they didn't unplug things. And if they did, he got it working. You hear that? Isn't that beautiful? And this is what I want you to just play that. And if you can give a little volume to that melody that you're playing, it's beautiful. How many of you just love a sweet melody on the piano, saxophone, violin, guitar, like melody, whatever you call it, just a beautiful expression of when notes, beautiful notes come together. Sounds so soothing and beautiful. Man of many talents. That's why Pastor Hannah loves him so much. Woohoo! Now, what I want you to do, Brian, as you're back there, and I know it's odd you can't see him, but I want you to throw in an unfamiliar chord or note or whatever it's called and throw that in the melody and repeat that bad note. It's going to drive Pastor Hannah crazy because of this, but just do that. Now play the melody again. Throw in that bad note. Play the melody again. Throw that bad note in. That just sounds horrible. Do it one more time. Now just play the melody. Just play it a little bit more. Do you see how beautiful
it was when he eliminated that wrong chord or note or whatever you call it. And we just went back to beauty. And before he stops playing, how many of you know sometimes we get so caught up in just the beautiful melody that the Lord sings over us and releases over us, and then all of a sudden there's just that one thing that's thrown in right there. Good job, Pastor Brian. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, Lord. And what I sensed in the room is an unfamiliar note, a chord being thrown metaphorically in the melody of your life. And it's like, Lord, that's just awful. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to prophesy into that situation. And what I sensed and I heard in my heart is God is a master musician, and I just saw him removing that wrong chord in your life. God just eliminating that thing that's just a disturbance and throws you off of your focus, off of your game. It throws you off of excitement. It throws you off in just peace. It's just like, man, I'm like worshiping. Like, there's nothing worse, because I don't pay the subscription for YouTube to not give me commercials. So, man, I will be in worship. And I'll be like, Lord, you're good. Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you too can reduce your insurance by switching to Geico. I'm like, you dog. Like I hope all of those marketers realize I don't want to buy your insurance. I don't want to buy your magazine because you interrupted my worship. I'm going to go with someone that don't interrupt my worship. And isn't it just like society, seriously, to allow commercials and then say, hey, if you pay $9.99 a month, you too can worship without commercials. So we're going to inflict you with the pain and give you a resolution all at the same time. Pay, and we'll get rid of something that we just freely permitted. It just robs you, and the enemy comes to kill, stone, destroy. And I just feel like that speaks to someone. And before I have him stop, how many of you are just like, man, Lord, I want that note to be removed. And I just, that wrong key, that wrong note. And I just want to come back into just this beautiful melody in life. I want you to raise your hand really quick. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm prophesying this. God's eliminating the wrong note. And there's just going to be a beautiful expression, a beautiful melody like Pastor Brian's been playing. Jesus, eliminate the bad note. Eliminate the disruption. And I thank you, Father, that wherever there was a bad note, so to speak, a bad expression, a horrid a tune that shows us something bad approached or something bad is approaching, like da-dum, da-dum. Lord, I pray that you just remove that devouring melody. And I pray, God, that you would bring a sweet melody, bring things in order, bring healing, and bring restoration. And I just declare over this house, God is eliminating the bad key, the bad note. And what's going to proceed from that place that had that horrid sound is this beautiful, familiar sound of your Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, Brian. You can stop. Give Pastor Brian a round of applause. It's just easier to illustrate it than it is to try to explain it. You know what I mean? So thank you so much for that grace, everybody. All right, we're going to jump into the Word of God. The Lord has been getting me on this theme lately, and this is when you can start the sermon time. The Lord has been getting me on a theme where it's like I have a prophetic word maybe for the house, and then that becomes the illustration and part of the introduction to the word that I'm going to preach prophetically or teach prophetically. And so with that in mind, here's where we're going to go. The title of this message today is Extend. Real simple, not a snazzy, amazing, a creative, you know, I didn't get with the creative arts department for a really cool, snazzy title. But listen, sometimes the most snazziest titles to something lack so much depth, okay? So the thing that I'm going to share is extend. The only thrilling thing sometimes is people's titles to their message, not the content of the message. So today, it might not be the fancy word title, and it's not wordy, but the Lord just gave me this word on extend, and I'll articulate it more. Part of this message is coming from a personal encounter that I had with God's voice a few weeks ago. And a lot of this word is coming from a prophetic word and an unction that I believe God wants me to release over your house, which part of my introduction is going to be releasing that word. Is it okay? What I believe the Lord wanted me to tell you guys is you're stepping into a season of extension. And that's going to make sense in just a minute, but I believe this. Things are to be extended beyond the normal allotment today and in this season of the church through the breath of the Holy Spirit. I just sense there will be an advancement exchange in this season, where in this season you guys will surpass what was allotted in the past season. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I will repeat myself because I'm getting ahead of myself. But to extend is to actually exceed the normal allotment of something. I love this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says he wants to do exceedingly, talking about God, he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that we could ask, think, or imagine. God wants to extend and deepen your perception and your perspective. Yeah. And I feel like this is a season for this church that what was allotted will not be forgotten, but more will be received. Because you are stepping into a season where you are going to exceed the normal allotment, the thing that was given in the past season. And we will articulate that more in just a minute. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 17. This will be our main text for this morning, even though I'll read, thank you, Lord, I'll read more or I'll quote more in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 17, look at verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1, thank you, Jesus, to verse 8. You good? Are you good? All right. Some of you sound dead because you ain't saying anything. But anyways, Lord, bless them. I'm just messing with you. Matthew 17, verse 1, it says this. 6 days later, Jesus took with him, I'm reading out of the NASB, took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. This is Jesus. This is what he really looks like. And John, in the book of Revelations, describing the revelation of Jesus he received on the island of Patmos, sees this Jesus. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good. Someone say, it's good. It's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles. Here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. I would be too. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up. Someone say, get up. Get up. And do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus. Oh, that could preach. They saw no one except Jesus alone. I want to pause for the cause and just say this. This isn't the message, but it kind of is. I want to grow and I want to extend my maturity to where in the midst of people's opinions, my perspective has been elevated by Jesus, and he has extended my depth perception to where in the midst of everyone else's opinion, all I see is Jesus and his statues and nothing else. Where I want to be at a place where whenever someone comes and tries to rip me out of uniqueness and bring me into conforming to their ideology and opinion, I want to only rise when Jesus tells me to rise and see no one, not even their opinion, but except Jesus. Is this making sense? Like, that's all I want. Like, I want to get to a place where I extend my spiritual growth and maturity, where even in the midst of someone's ideology and opinion of how I should handle something, I block that out and accept only Jesus. Come on, help me, Jesus. We're going to move on real quick. We'll get practical in just a second. First thing that I want to say here in our text is at his appearing. Someone say appearing. At his appearing, their reverence extended beyond the norm. Whenever a crowd came, watch, when the cloud came, showed up, Jesus is appearing the way he was appearing, transfigured before them. Love how he took his earth suit off and showed them what he really looks like in heaven. On earth. I don't know about you, but I want to extend my depth perception by hanging out in his presence where I see him for who he is in heaven on earth. But anyways, a cloud comes, a voice speaks, it's God, and they fall down. Fearful. Now, I understand Jesus got them up and said, hey, don't be afraid, because I think they were afraid, not fearing, reverencing, and in awe. But I believe after that interaction, their reverence was transfigured, and it exceeded the normal allotment. How many of you want that? Like, Lord, I want to have a greater reverence. I want my reverence to exceed the norm. Thank God I have a fear or a reverence in all of you. But Lord, I want it to grow. All right, we're going to move on. I love this because at the appearing, their lives from there on was different. And then Jesus says, get up, which I love. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. The manifestation of his presence is in a sense, and it's not limited to this, but watch, is in a sense him extending his hand to assist us up into a new wonder and a new perspective. I was at my Pennsylvania state capitol in a suit, and I don't like to be in a suit. I just wanted to add that and complain a little bit. And I'm getting ready to minister to judges and whoever comes in our path of great seniority in our state. And I'm with a group of pastors, and we're praying. And the Lord appears to me in a vision. And what I could, how I can explain it in the imagery that brought myself to an eternal truth of God was Jesus had a magnifying glass in this vision, and he was highlighting my heart with the magnifying glass. And all of a sudden, things were magnified in my heart, and what it lent to was the Lord said this, Ryan, you have what you need. I've already put in you what you need for today. Don't worry. I will magnify in the moment what you need to present, pray, and prophesy. And can I tell you something? You know what happened? There was a peace that surpassed all understanding. In that encounter, he extended my peace through his grace. What he was doing was, in the manifestation of that presence through vision, in a sense, he was extending his hand to assist me up into a new wonder and a new perspective. By extending your attention to the Lord, watch this. When you extend your attention, you go beyond your normal contribution. And you extend your attention to the Lord, where, like earlier, there's no one around except Jesus. You know what starts to happen? By extending your attention to the Lord, you have just brought your mind into a fertile atmosphere. Mm. Bringing your mind into submission. And I'm sorry, what happens then is it brings your mind into the submission of godly depth. In this interaction with the Lord, their understanding extended beyond the norm. Hey, Lord, we know you good, but we never saw that before. Jesus, do you know your hair was white? like, whoa, that's weird. Do you know, I don't think it's by happenstance that in Romans chapter 12, it says this. It says, watch this, transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed there, an imagery of that, they bring you back to Matthew 17, where Jesus was completely transfigured in his appearance. Watch this. When you extend your attention to the Lord and he manifests himself, you extend and exceed your normal reverence, and it changes your appearance. What do you mean by that? Can I tell you something? Even my demeanor changed when the Lord showed me what he showed me in the state capitol. I walked with confidence. I walked those halls like I was a state representative, and I looked like one too. Not as corrupt, but anyway, no, I'm just playing. But anyways, shots fired, fall, run. I didn't mean that. There's some great people in the state capitol. I'm just messing around. But the other day I had to go and have a coming to Jesus meeting with somebody. You know what those are? Where I'm driving and I'm the one that has to address unrighteousness in an individual, a male. I was kind of coming somewhat unannounced. I called him. He didn't answer. He calls me back. I said, hey, bro. I said, I've been made aware of what's going on, and I'm actually on my way to your house. And I'm going to take you from the house, and we need to talk. And you know what he said? He said, oh, snap. Well, then you better, old snap. He said, well, I guess I'll go. Or he didn't say, I guess. He's like, I'll go get dressed. I'll get ready. I said, all right, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I don't play with unrighteousness. So I drive over there, and I'm nervous because this is uncomfortable. And now there was an appearing that took place. The Lord spoke to me. He said, Ryan, you're the one with authority here. You have the authority in this situation. Later on, he started to show me, you're standing for righteousness. So you have authority over this unrighteousness. And you know what happened? There was this reverence around that word that came, and it changed my appearance, my demeanor, my posture, where I went there, picked him up, and laid some truth on this man. In love. He ends up repenting, and his life was changed in that meeting. At God's appearing, their reverence was extended. It exceeded the normal amount. Oh, I'm building something here. This is just an introduction. It's fun, right? Watch. So good. So when he appeared, their understanding extended beyond the norm. I got to share a testimony. Is that okay? I was just driving over here, and I get a voice message from one of the pastors I pour into prophetically in their house, and I'm there a couple of times a year. And sometimes people might ask, why do you go to places a couple times a year? We're building something together. And if you don't like it, that's fine. Except Jesus is the only one that I see and what he's calling me to. You can have your opinion, but I'm just listening to Jesus. But I don't mean that cocky. I mean that confidently. But watch. He just sent me a message. He said, I just wanted to share with you a testimony with one of the prophetic words you gave us. He said, Ryan, he says, you prophesied that we are going to be well known, like we're going to be more known in our community. He says, well, there's a man who literally became the nurse manager of a hospital, which is unheard of, especially with only a year and a half experience at that job or at that hospital. He says, in awe, he says, this person just got promoted to sheriff, and he was like, I am actually going to become, per the school board's approval, he said he's going to become the assistant principal in his community. So guess what? God extended their exposure, and God extended their story, extended their testimony, and he's extending their reach. And I must pause for the calls again and just prophesy this. You guys are about ready to come into a season of celebrating God's story, celebrating testimony. Because I see like flowers springing up in the springtime, you're about ready to see a multitude, an extension, an exceeding beyond the normal allotment of stories that are bragging on God and his goodness. Testimonies about ready to spring up in your midst, and it's going to be phenomenal. You guys okay? Extend. Someone say extend. Me and my wife were a few years ago, my baby was just about 6 months old or so, our baby, not my baby, our baby, and we went to the beach. She was less than 6 months, but anyways, we went to the beach for a few days, got a really good deal in this hotel. We were there for 2 nights, and my wife was like, man, 2 nights is just not enough at the beach, and I was like, I know, and so I, like, secretly went down to the front desk, I think it was secretly, and was like, hey, what would it cost for me to extend my trip? Because watch this, for you to extend, to exceed, it will cost you. And so I said, how much will it cost? And it was a lot. And I was like, you know what? Not worth it. We're leaving today. Or we're leaving tomorrow, whenever it was. But we were looking for an extension, but watch, that extension was going to cost us. And we weren't willing to pay. So we had to be content with the normal allotment. A lot of us are discontent with some of the levels of content that we have in our life. But to exceed that norm and to extend to a new place, you need to be willing to do something that might cost you something. Cost your time, cost you energy, might even cost you friendships, but yet it's only you and Jesus that matters. No one was there except Jesus. I love how Jesus said this, come follow me. They're like, hey, can I go bury my father first? He's like, let the dead bury the dead. He's like, man, listen, you need to leave father and mother and come follow me. Let down your nets and come follow me. That cost them something, y'all, but they did it by faith, and they extended their experience. You guys okay? God wants to, watch, I want to talk just real quick. How many of you have ever had extensions in your life? Because this all fits in this word, this message today, extend. How many of you have ever had like an extension, like maybe on your taxes, filing your taxes, or an extension for homework, or an extension for this, or an extension for that? Praise God. We call that a grace period. I do, not that this isn't my job, but I do finances for a specific ministry, and the CPA that I work with every year, Pastor Brian, does an extension on our annual fiscal year taxes, and it's nerve-wracking. I'll give it to him in August. He needs to have it in November, but it's not till the next year it's done because he filed for an extension. The reason I'm bringing this up is we need to thank God for grace periods. We need to thank God for the grace that He extends. Come on, somebody. We got to thank God for the grace out of the love and patience He has that He extends, right? Come on, somebody. His grace towards us, and that grace empowers us to exceed our normal function in life. And God's like, listen, it might take you a little longer, but that's okay. Love is patient, and I will extend my grace and give you a grace period and be with you. And yeah, you might fall and have to get back up and fall and get back up until you exceed what is normal in your life, but I will give you an extension because I'm good. So we need to give people extensions. Sometimes, listen, people might not be fitting into what you challenge them to do. You need to create a place of grace and say, you know what? I'm going to be a reflection and extend to my neighbor what God has extended to me. The Bible says, freely receive, now freely give. Well, I already had a conversation with you, husband. Time's clicking. Click, click. Bye. And sometimes there's a place for that, but sometimes you've got to create a space of grace for growth and be a reflection of the love and compassion that was given to you by God. Oh. Sometimes, watch this, we look at extension, and we find this in our text today, an extended prolonged presence. Oh. Sometimes we need that extended, prolonged moment in Him just to be like, Lord, I just want to sit in this. Amen. We need extension in our lives. Sometimes, and I'm going to move on, sometimes we need not to just know that we can be the recipient of God's extension of grace, but I'm going somewhere. We need to be a reflection of that grace and extend it towards others. Amen. God will sometimes require you to exceed normal and stretch yourself so that you can be extended. Come on. See, we need to extend our reach. We need to extend our compassion. I was like, I didn't ask for a slideshow. Okay, I get it. We need to extend our compassion. This is what the Lord spoke to me in an appearing. I was getting ready for church down in Virginia to preach, and the Lord spoke to me about passion and compassion. And the Lord started to extend a grace period for me to grow into what He was showing me in this appearing. And I needed to give myself to it because God wanted to exceed me to exceed my norm. And He said to me, He said, Ryan, you have passion. And He was talking specifically about my marriage. He's like, your wife has passion, and it comes across as aggression sometimes. You have passion, and it comes across as aggression sometimes. He says, that's why you need compassion to be wrapped up in your passion. I'm sorry, your passion needs to be wrapped up in compassion. Right. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You need to wrap up your passion in compassion. So we need to extend our compassion, our capacity to be compassionate. We're going to talk about how and get practical about all of this in just a minute. But we need to exceed our capacity. We need to expand our capacity. We need to extend our capacity, our patience, our kindness, our meekness. Sometimes, listen, we need to extend our reach. I'm sitting with your leaders, and I love the vision that they have, and it exceeds this, just this, but they want to extend their reach in the community. Why? Because the Lord has appeared to them and said, listen, I want you to partner with this. I'm giving you a place for grace to grow into this because I want you to exceed the normal allotment. Yeah. Come on. Yes. You're doing awesome things, but it's time to extend. I love this. Whenever Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, oh, ye of little faith. When he looked at Peter, when Peter looked at the storm instead of the sea, when he said, little faith, you have little faith. He wasn't mocking the faith because Peter had faith. He was saying, it's like a child faith right now. And you need to extend your faith. Someone say, extend your faith, grow your faith, increase in faith, mature your faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. Yes, Peter's faith fell short, and he wasn't pleased with that. But when he says, oh, ye of little faith, he wasn't saying, you don't got no faith, or your faith is small compared to mine. No, he was like, listen, it's in a young, developing stage right now, and eventually you'll extend and grow and increase in your faith where those waves won't bother you like they did before. Come on. We'll talk about that in just a second. But we need to extend our stay sometimes in the things that God designed and not be in a rush to go to the next thing. I got to say this. I'm going to say it again. We need to extend our faith in this season, and this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my message. We need to extend our faith. What provoked this was I was praying the other day, because I do pray sometimes. No, I pray. I was praying last week because of some opposition in my home, and I was struggling in my faith. And the Lord says, you need to extend your faith. You have it, but it needs to grow. You have it, but you need your faith. You need to start believing for that. God's a father. He'll get up in your grill like that and say, listen, oh, ye of little faith, it's young and it needs developed. Extend your faith. I love my son. And there's times where he gets down on himself with sports or he gets down on himself for whatever. And I'm like, son, you just need to stop. Like, man, you're amazing. Stop thinking that way. There's something in him that makes him think good. And it's like, I want to expound upon that. I want to see him exceed that level of faith and grow and develop into a greater faith. Not because I'm mocking the faith that he has. I celebrate the faith that he has. I just want it to extend and exceed beyond the normal allotment. And if I, not being evil, but if I, being an earthly father, know how to give my son good gifts like that and want that for him, how much more does your heavenly father want to give that? Come on. Is this making sense today? I'm building something. I'm almost done. I really am. Little faith. God wants to extend your faith where your faith starts reaching for things that you used to not reach for. God wants to extend your faith reach. I was reading this in a study this morning. The word, like, little faith and stuff, that whole allotment right there, the word really has the idea of someone who is young and inexperienced. It is used for an apprentice who has not yet mastered a certain skill. That's what, like a word in, I forget if it was Arabic or Greek, that's what, when Jesus said little faith, he's trying to get across. You're an apprentice that hasn't mastered this thing yet, but it's okay. You'll get there. Because he's teacher, he's rabbi. God doesn't mock you for you saying, man, I don't have faith for that. But God wants you to get on his shoulders. I love that part in the play where one of them got on Jesus' shoulders and they were like, I love that. That was awesome. Oh, you guys okay? Because watch, God wants to extend your view of him, found in the text here, where he extends your faith to start believing in on a new level. Watch this. I started having faith for things in ministry, and it's amazing what God's been doing in ministry. Now I'm going to be starting to go after other things. That's stretching me. But to extend, you must be stretched. Like my wife and I had a coming to Jesus talk when we were hiking the other week. And she says, Ryan, you talk about these things. Go for it. She says, I think one of your greatest concerns is finances. She said, Ryan, she's like, we just need to trust. God's been taking care of us. We're walking and there's a cleared like path and there's a creek. I'm like, babe, let's just go over here and check it out. I just wanted to go check it out while we're having this conversation. I just wanted to go check it out and see the creek. And all of a sudden, as we're talking and finishing up our conversation and casting vision, I look over at one of the sides here on the down beaten path, and there's $4 laying there, just cash, right there on the path. It was just $4, but it was $4. More than I had in my pocket. What did God do in that appearing? He gave me, come on, the content and the ingredients to cause my faith to thrive, to exceed the normal allotment. He's saying, I want you to, oh, you have little faith. I want you, come on, to master this thing and extend your faith and reach. Amen. And isn't it crazy that whenever they have this experience, they come down and they meet the demonized man, the demon boy, I'll call him. And they're like, hey, we brought them to your disciples. They couldn't cast it out. And he's like, man, generation, how long do I need to be with you? Extend your faith. Isn't it just like the enemy to oppose your encounter? But in the midst of opposition, it's an opportunity to start operating in what you received in your encounter. And then you'll exceed your experience. Because your faith converges with God's power, you'll extend your experience. You guys good? Watch this. You guys, we're almost done. I love this. This is what the Lord said to me. Can I have the photo that's underneath your foot right now? Thanks, Hannah. Jeez. No, I'm just like, this is going to come into play. I was going to bring my hunting bow, but I forgot. And I don't want it broke because hunting season's coming up. But you might want to write this down if you're taking notes. To extend an arrow's reach, there is things you must incorporate in the bow, and one must have a solid arrow. To extend an arrow's reach, there is things you must incorporate in the bow, and one must have a solid arrow. I don't need no crooked, damaged arrow, because I might not get my deer. But I also watch to extend the reach of my arrow to maybe go farther. I need to incorporate maybe some new strings and other tweaks to my bow to extend my reach. My sister here, one of my favorite, well, probably one of my favorite Marvel characters. And yeah, I'm getting a little nerdy real quick. One of my favorite Marvel characters, because it's not like he has this crazy, like, God-like Thor ability, but he's amazing with a bow. I'm a Hawkeye guy. And what really sold me on Hawkeye was whenever they had the miniseries on Disney Plus. And I saw how much of a family man he was, and he became a mentor and rose up the chick that was bad to the bone, maybe even better than he was at the bow at the end. So she drew this for me. I think this is awesome, right? Because I told everybody, I think last time I was here, I love Hawkeye. He's got a bow right here. And I just wanted to show off her artwork. It's amazing. And now this is mine. You cannot have it. But I love me some Hawkeye because he's got a bow. And he's got an arrow. And you might be like, okay, what's your point? It was just neat. And I didn't bring my bow. But to extend an arrow's reach, there is things you must incorporate in the bow, and one must have a solid arrow. Don't be limited to this list, but things to put or to incorporate in your bow, metaphorically. You ready for this? Number one, wait for his appearing. Did you hear what I just said? For an arrow to reach a greater depth or to reach a greater thing, there's things you must incorporate in the bow. Think with the eyes of the Spirit real quick. Number one, things to incorporate. Wait for his appearing. When Jesus appeared to his disciples in multiple different ways, you know what started to happen? They started to extend their understanding, which then caused them to exceed their normal function. Because Jesus says, whatever you see me do, you can do and do even greater. So whenever they saw him in his appearings, they just exceeded in understanding of what they were called to and then was held accountable to what they saw and extended their reach. To extend an arrow's reach, there is things you must incorporate in the bow, and one must have a solid arrow. Things to incorporate, wait for his appearing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. When is the last time you prayed and then just waited for his appearing? And then watch, revolve around that appearance and reflect it. What are you talking about? Hannah's face is messing with me right now. What I mean by this is revolve around that appearing. Build your house on it. Look at Noah. Build an ark. Gave him the specifications on how to build it. Gave him the supplies. And he built upon that word. I'm just messing with her about her face. But you got to wait for his appearing to know what to build around. Number two. Things that you need to incorporate in your life, the rebukes and the triumphs of Jesus. Amen. Say what? Amen. The precious rebukes of Jesus. Because that word rebuke can sound like a really bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. The precious rebukes of Jesus. But also the triumphs of Jesus. Revolve around that. Consecrate and devote yourself to the correction and the direction of the Lord. That's what I mean by rebuke. Jesus confronted his immature faith, but yet celebrated the fact he had faith. Because he didn't leave that out in the statement. He didn't say little. He said, oh, you have little faith. But you have it, son. You'll master it. You'll extend your faith. But there's some things you must, incorporate in your bell if you're to ever extend your reach. Watch. Something that you need to incorporate in your bow, again, metaphorically, listen with the ears of the Spirit, the reminiscing of resurrection appearances. I love this. In John chapter 2, verse 22, it says, so when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. In earlier verses in John 2, this is after he flips the temple tables, and they're outside of the temple, and they're like, hey, what sign do you give us? He says, destroy this temple, in 3 days it will rise. And they thought he was talking about the physical temple, and it appears that the disciples were thinking the same thing, and thinking, Jesus, did you get a nap today? Because you're talking weird. But after the resurrection, they remembered and they believed. Can I tell you something? That's what you need to incorporate in your life. You need to reminisce on the resurrection appearances of Jesus. Do you ever see like the disciples are in a place fearful and doubtful, hiding out, and then Jesus walks through a wall? Thomas still doubted. But he's like, hey, in my resurrected body, I kept the scars for you. Put your hands right here. And all of a sudden, doubt disintegrated at resurrection appearances. Reminisce on the Bible. Oh, go figure. Go to the end of each gospel and just reflect on his resurrection. Incorporate that and watch. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The testimony of Jesus, of him getting up and getting out of the grave, will remind you of things, but then cause you to believe, like John 2, when the disciples remembered and after his resurrection, believed. You guys okay? Ooh. There's so many more I could talk about to extend that you need to extend. Last one, real quick, the path of resistance. There's more that I have, but for time's sake, I'm going to stop here and move on and finish. But the path of resistance. A lot of us love to defer and deflect from the path of resistance, and we try to go down the path of least resistance. But can I tell you something? And I don't want to regurgitate stuff I've already said before, not here, but other places, but I'm going to say this. For a bow to launch anything, it's got to have tension, and it's got to have resistance. And those who want to exceed beyond the normal allotment, you need to put yourself in predicaments that stretch you if you're ever to exceed the normal allotment. Put yourself in front of something that challenges you. Have challenging conversations. Ask hard questions, not wanting the answer, but yet you're still going to get it. An example of this, I'm going to extend my success in the next course I do at my church in November and December because of the course I did in February and March. At the end of my 6-week course, I typed up a survey and sent it to 53 students. Put me under a microscope, and we were asking questions that were probably easy for them to answer, but it was hard for me to hear. Because what I was saying and what my pastor wanted was humility. He wanted me to get on a path of resistance, to hear what I didn't want to hear. But if I received it and submitted to the truth that was in it, guess what starts to happen? You exceed the normal allotment, where it's going to be better the next time. So that's an example of putting yourself in the crosshairs of resistance. So as I wrap this up, we talked about, and there's more. Don't limit yourself to this list, okay? Let me give you a few health benefits of extension. Because I benefit from extensions, especially with taxes, and the IRS doesn't get mad at me. So here's some benefits. Here's some health benefits of extension. God extending grace, you putting yourself in a place to be extended, and then the benefits of when extension comes. You ready for this? Here's a benefit of fresh vigor and vibrancy to run the race. When my understanding of him grows, oh, that's fuel to my race. When I run, real quick, when I run, we have the, I do, some of you may be like, that's bad. Shush. I use Stinger gels. They're like, I think they're Stinger. It's a brand. It's energy gummies. And this last half marathon when I was training, I would do it like, especially like when I had a real long run. I think when I had my like 10 or 11 mile run, I broke it up at like 4, 5, 6. And then every mile that I completed, I popped gels. It's not steroids. It's just like honey and other things that just give you energy to push you. See, when you put yourself in a place and wait for his appearing, his rebukes, his testimony, his resurrection appearances, all that, you exceed to a new level. Your faith extends. You extend. Your maturity extends into a new place. And what happens is there's a fresh vigor and vibrancy to your race. Amen. Number two, a depth you are sustained by and others are blessed by. If you exceed your normal capacity and go into a new place, you benefit, but others do as well. Amen. Great commission. Go and make disciples. The better of a disciple you are, the extension of your devotion as a disciple, your love that grows, come on, and is extended for your Savior, increases your discipline, and now you have a reputation, and watch this, you have a story to encourage others by. Amen. Here's another benefit. Miraculous becomes more common, especially when you extend your faith. To expect it becomes more normal. And it just starts becoming normal. I remember when I started getting the good news of the gospel that I could actually pray for the sick and the sick could be healed. Amen. That I was commissioned to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. When I started getting that, I remember one time I went and I prayed for my mom and she started getting healed. I prayed for my brother. My brother got healed. And my mom is like, oh my gosh, like I don't know why. I'm terrified right now. I remember the first time when my faith extended and I touched someone that had a growth on his shoulder and it started to shrink. And he's like, it's shrinking. I, in my ignorance, was like, it is? No. And I'm the one praying in faith. I remember one time there was an atheist in my development that sent her daughter over for me to pray for her, and God removed a lump from her neck. I remember, watch this, how I functioned around this atheist. She would show up to hear me preach. And when her daughter had a lump on her neck, she sent her to me. Oh. See, whenever, watch, a depth you are sustained by, they will carry over into blessing others by it. Extend. Ooh. Here's one, a benefit when you extend things, an endurance led by excitement. Let me say this one. Freedom from insanity and the joys beyond its perimeters. And fresh creativeness and effectiveness. Do not be limited by that list, but that's a list. Stand with me all over the church. Wow, I birthed the baby. Took me 48 minutes to do so. I'm still amazed that like Hannah and others, I can pop it out in like 30 minutes. You're amazing. Her record, I saw it when the comedian was here, 10 minutes, y'all. Were you there for that when she did that? 10 minutes. I think it was 10 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. 10 minutes. But still, it was like 10 minutes, girl. I'm like, good Lord, I can never do that. Amen. I get it. Extend my faith and maybe I'll reach it. I felt that in my spirit from somebody, and I think it came from Pastor Tom. I feel like the Lord is actually increasing my capacity to know what other people are thinking. Amen. One time I was preaching and I was saying certain things, and the one person came up to me. She's like, "Can you hear people's thoughts?" Now, this sounds weird. I'm not trying to be like weird. Jesus perceived what they were saying, and then he addressed it. And that's kind of what I was doing in this message. She's like, "Were you kind of perceiving what they were thinking?" I was like, "Yeah. I think so. I don't know. Anyways, I was perceiving that, Pastor Tom. But anyways, extend your faith, Pat Ryan. But anyways, let's just pray. Jesus, I just thank you for your love. Thank you for appearing to us. And one of the things in your presence, you extend your hand to bring us to a new level. Bring us to a new level, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.